Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Who would ever think the lead story of this podcast would be Caitlyn Jenner? Well, certainly not me, and probably not you. But how can she be ignored when she's sitting on national television pouring out from her heart her love for California and America and conservatism? I'm not sure where this is heading with the recall of Governor Newsom in California, but I am sure it's all going to be about Jenner. This was pretty amazing. My high school, Shawnee Mission North, has decided to be the Bison instead of the Indians because apparently there is not a single history teacher at the school. Bison is the single worst and biggest reminder for all Indigenous people about how their culture was taken over. I promise I have a scientific stat for you that will back this up, and you won't believe it. What would you think if you saw two married people, both double vaccinated, outdoors, in a parking lot, kissing each other goodbye? Through their masks. I know what I'd think. Then I'd say, hey, that's the Vice President of the United States. Unreal. In sports, the Royals apparently took the wrong player off Gardner Edgerton from 2011's team. While Bubba Starling has been a bust, his teammate from back in the day at GE, John Means, who was originally selected in the 46th round of the draft, just threw a no-hitter. And it was an amazing no-hitter. Only 27 batters faced. I think this one should be classified as a perfect game, and I'll explain. Own a Peloton? Well, you better hear this. The treadmills are crazy dangerous. Every single one of them has been recalled. Unplug it, never use it again, bad things happen. And Peloton fought with the government to keep people from knowing. This story's bad, and their stock is tumbling. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, in Excelsior Springs. Mike Robinson and his team just make it easy. That's what the customers say. We just make it easy at Roberts Robinson. And the easy way to buy cars now is to have it delivered to your home. Hey, don't forget the service department. They're open. They're up and running. You don't have to wear a mask sitting in their waiting room if you want to go in there, get your oil changed. They got great pricing, great service. They'll even come to your house and get your car, service it for you, and bring it back for you. They do a lot of things that other people simply won't do. But it is the perfect place in and around Excelsior Springs to have your car serviced. If you live a long ways away, again, they'll come get it, service it, and bring it back to you. They really are better and different at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. And if you want to build a car online, get on the phone with Tim, the sales manager, Tim Tracer. Call him up at the dealership, say, here's what I want to build. I'm looking for a Chevy Silverado, right? And I want to build this thing out. And you get online, you get on the phone with him, takes about 20 minutes. You tell them the options you want, the ones you don't want. They order it straight from the factory, just the way you like it. And it actually costs less doing it that way. With Chevrolet, find new roads at Roberts Robinson, where you can shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems. This isn't the actual HVAC system. It's the control panel. It's the way it operates. It's the way it works in one room and not so much in another, based on what the needs are in those specific rooms. You get this for your office building, your church, your school, your warehouse. You won't believe the money you can save. They also have a consulting arm of Elite Automation called Elite Energy. All the information is available online at eliteautomate.com. If you know somebody that's a mechanical contractor and they work with buildings and do maintenance, those folks need to know about this too. It can save them huge money. If you own and operate buildings and other people lease from you, it's unbelievable what they can do. EliteAutomate.com. Good folks, love the podcast. What is your building costing you? Make that building great again with Elite Automation online at EliteAutomate.com. And TJ Vilkanskis and the good folks at Back9Development.com. You want to see a great portfolio of custom homes? Go check it out. They can build one for you right here in Kansas City or anywhere in the area. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Back 9 Development will build for you. Room additions, commercial projects, custom homes. You want to see what their work looks like? Go to the website, back9development.com. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Right now featuring the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere, brand new upscale 1 and 2 bedroom condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Perfect for a second home. Weekends for sporting events in Manhattan, lake trips, golf outings, kids going to college, you name it. It's a great location, and they're wonderful, brand new condos. Back9development.com for the Solheim at Grandmere. Caitlyn Jenner is going to be a really big story over the next few months. I don't know how it ends. I don't know whether it's a great story or a bad story, but we will not be able to ignore this one. On KKHI, hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
So I had a lot of things go through my mind when I was developing the podcast, thinking about what it would be like, what would I talk about, what would I lead with, what would be the most important stories. And I can tell you, it never once crossed my mind or occurred to me that there was even a remote possibility that the lead of the podcast would ever be Caitlyn Jenner. But it is. And there's no way to avoid this after watching her with Sean Hannity on Wednesday night and hearing all about her policies, everything that she stands for, everything she wants to do in California. You can't ignore this. It sounds great to this audience to hear her talk about the things that are important. It's the first time anybody's really heard her speak out about all these things, and she sounds exceedingly conservative, which, if we are to believe in all of the stereotypes and biases and bigotry that the liberals, you know, basically dish out in this country and deal in, this is an impossibility. You can't be a conservative and be a transgender. And I don't know how many times I can say it, and I know that there are conservatives that don't like it and don't agree with me on this. But I do think most conservatives in America have gotten to a point where there's just so many issues that are far more important than sexual preference, the color of your skin, the nationality, the language you speak, or any of these other things. I'm just over all of it. I'm just over it. And so this is fabulous for so many reasons, because this is the cookie cutter, check your box, perfect liberal candidate. If she were running like, I mean, this would be unbelievable. If it was like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and she were running against an incumbent Republican that was recalled, Nixon or Reagan or Schwarzenegger or somebody like that that's from California, and a liberal transgender who was the greatest athlete in the world were running in a recall election against one of those Republicans, can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine? There would be no other story in the United States. There'd be nothing. It would completely overwhelm and dominate everything going on in the entire United States. And so I was thinking of it in reverse like that. I think it's a podcast. I don't know if she's going to get 10% of the vote. I can't even sit here today. I'll read up on it. We'll learn. Typically when there's a recall, there's a bunch of people that have to, you know, basically primary off to become the candidate running against Newsom, who's been recalled with 2.1 million signatures. And there's other candidates. The former mayor of San Diego is a longtime conservative, and he wants to run. He's run for governor before. There are some usual suspects in California that have never gotten more than like 35% of the vote. They've just been slaughtered anytime they've run for governor. But something tells me this is different. There is, and the first thing that happened last night was my wife comes down the hallway. She went and took a shower, and I said, hey, this Caitlyn Jenner thing's coming on with Hannity. Turn it on. I'm in the office going through some notes, getting ready for today's podcast. And I holler down the hallway at her and tell her that. I'm watching the Royals game. I flip it over and I start watching. She comes down like 7 or 8 minutes later. She goes, it reminds me of the first time I heard Trump. I had no idea. I'm like, I like this person. They're not a politician. I had no idea they believed in these things that I believe in. And it made you feel good. Is it hard? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that's hard about this. You know, if we're just, and this is just an honest podcast, what's hard about it is I remember Bruce Jenner, the world's greatest athlete in 1976. I remember being a 10-year-old kid and having the box of Wheaties with Bruce Jenner on it. I remember all of these things about Bruce Jenner. I remember how proud we were that he was from Iowa nearby. He'd been in college in Iowa, and, you know, we kind of felt like he was, you know, close by, one of us, whatever you'd call it. World's greatest athlete is a hell of a moniker. That's some title. And he had it. And then he sort of disappeared for many years and then pops up on the Kardashian show. And y'all started to think weird things about him. And now he's a transgender female. And it's hard because when she speaks, when Caitlyn speaks, I still see and hear Bruce Jenner. This was not somebody that nobody knew as Bruce Jenner. You knew the voice. You knew the look. You knew the mannerisms. He was the biggest star in the world. It was the biggest sport. At that time, him and Muhammad Ali were the biggest sports stars on the planet. Truly. And so you knew all this, and it's just so hard to see the transformation and not see Bruce Jenner there. That's me. That may not be you. If you're younger than me, then that doesn't wash with you at all. But if you're a little bit older and you remember Bruce Jenner, the athlete, it's a tricky thing. So, look, it's not a commentary on being a transgender. Again, I don't care. I've never cared what Bruce Jenner's done with his life. I don't care what anybody does with their life. That's a mantra here. We repeat that over and over and over. The hard part for me watching it is I still see Bruce Jenner. And it is not, if you think it's hard to say Los Angeles Chargers instead of San Diego Chargers, saying Washington football team instead of Washington Redskins, it is still hard for millions and millions of Americans to not say Bruce Jenner or to say Caitlyn Jenner and refer to her as him or he. This is hard. It's complicated. It's difficult. It's difficult for people who don't spend any time on this or pay any attention to these sorts of things because it doesn't really matter in their life. But what's amazing about this particular candidate is she's conservative. She obviously has some social leanings that are left of center and things of that nature, but she's good with immigration. Wants the wall to be built, people to be sent home. We need to find the people that are, she basically said, it's a merit test. If you're contributing to society, if you have work here, if you've assimilated into our culture, we'd like to find a way for you to stay. If not, you got to go. You got to go. And she wants to build the wall and all these other things. And I don't think California voters are going to embrace that. Look, I think they hate Newsom. I think they hate Newsom, but I think that is such a liberal state that there are enough people that are just liberal that say, we'll take the governor we hate over something else that's going to change our ways. So I don't think the Republican is going to win. I'm no California expert. I don't think he's going to win, but this is a great exercise and learning experience for the state of California and the people that live there. And the one line that Caitlyn Jenner had last night with Sean Hannity that stands out to me is, quote, I don't want to leave, unquote. Basically asking her, why are you doing this? She said, I have to do this because if I don't win this, I don't want to leave. My friends are leaving. I've got a very close friend. She said that just moved to Sedona, Arizona, said, I got to get out. I can't drive by these homeless people every day. I can't see the filth on the streets. I'm tired of the pollution. I can't deal with any of this stuff. I can't deal with it anymore. I'm out of California and went and lived out in the Red Rocks in Sedona and said, that's it. I'm gone. And Caitlyn Jenner's basically saying, I don't want to have to do that. I love California. California's been good to me. There's a Tom Petty song called California. It's very good. California's been good to me is the chorus. And Caitlyn Jenner basically says that. The amazing part is, and this will come up during this campaign, I promise. She is now, she says she's an outsider, and I love the code here. All right, that's an outsider as a politician. That's to level-minded voters. She calls herself an outsider. What she's really talking about is the LGBTQ community. Because basically, as we talk about transgenders in America, for most Americans, an overwhelming percentage of Americans, what, 90% of Americans that know a transgender female, the only one they know is Caitlyn Jenner. It's true. I mean, she's the one everyone knows. Like, if there is someone on the poster for transgender women in America, it's Caitlyn Jenner. And yet that community is shunning her. Why? Because she's not part of the transgender female community that's liberal. And this comes up over and over and over and is the real problem with liberalism. There's a light shown on this every single time this comes up. The second we see Tim Scott in South Carolina give a speech, a reply to the State of the Union or whatever the thing Biden was did the other night, he's not, it doesn't count. Doesn't count. We don't see you as black. We don't see you as having a struggle. You haven't had it. You're a Republican. You've had it good. White privilege is code for you're conservative. Conservative Americans have just been in control and running this thing since 1776, and we're done with it. That's what this is. It's a political revolution. It really doesn't have anything to do with race. They hate religion, but they only hate religion because it's a voting bloc. They hate the NRA because it's a voting bloc. And then you see these people that are just marginalized. We talk about marginalized people. Black people marginalized? Great. Guess what doesn't happen from the left? They don't marginalize black liberals. They marginalize Tim Scott. It's the same thing with the transgender community. They don't marginalize liberal transgenders. They can't stand Caitlyn Jenner. They don't accept her. They don't acknowledge her. She's marginalized by them and shamed by the LGBTQ community. And we're going to see this. I'll be shocked if we see, and we should, to be honest, every transgender female, because this is it's the number one issue. If you're a transgender female, like we talk about very tiny groups of people in this country that have an issue that is insignificant to 90 some percent of the people in this country. All right. But it is the most important issue in their life. If the most important issue for a voter in California is transgenderism, that person should be voting for Caitlyn Jenner, and they're not going to do it. I don't think we're going to see 2,000 transgenders marching down the street supporting Caitlyn Jenner. Do you? I don't think we will. I don't think they like her politics, and I don't think they're going to see part of this as something for them, which is amazing, because how could any LGBTQ person in California not vote for Caitlyn Jenner? How is this even possible? If that's your number one issue, and with so many people that fit into that category, it is the number one issue. Are you a evil, awful, white man conservative against LGBTQ because you're just a biased bigot, a fraud? Then that's the number one issue, all right? If it's the number one issue, how could anyone that fits into that category ever possibly have a better person as governor of their state than Caitlyn Jenner? Who better would understand that community? And yes, I use the air quotes, because I really don't know what a community is. I always thought a community was like, I live in Lenexa. Lenexa is a community. Or my neighborhood is my community. I don't know. LGBTQ is a community. It's the word we use. It's the one we're given. We're supposed to use it, so we use it. That community couldn't have a better person than Caitlyn Jenner. It's not possible. How could you? How could you possibly do better than that? Yet, what do you think her percentage of the vote's going to be? Hey, prove me wrong, California. Prove me wrong. Because you know what? There's a lot of votes in California in the LGBTQ community. There's a big gay population, transgenders. It's all right there. Flip parties. Here's your person. I can't laugh it off, because in California right now, the state is so absurd that the only way for a Republican to win a recall is something like this, where people just get behind and say, you know what? We've had enough. This is only going to be for a couple of years. We've had enough. We want to try this person. Give him a shot, because the guy doing it is a fraud. Give Caitlyn a shot. Give this person a chance. I can't ignore it, but I also can't wrap my head around the fact that California would actually do something like that. It's just too liberal all the way around in California. And it's a monarchy. You know, it's a one-party rule. They're in charge of all the elections, everything you know that can be done with ballot drops, mail-in, harvesting, dumps. They got it all, and they'll have it all in this. It is a political machine the likes we've never seen in this country. It is even more powerful and influential than the political machine in New York. It's unbelievable. So I don't think any Republican is going to win a recall, but I'd sure like to see it. And I'll root for Caitlyn Jenner, and I'll have to get used to it a little bit, because I've thought of her as a joke for the last 15 years. I have, but then I've thought of everyone on the Kardashian shows as jokes. I just have, but they're not. There's some people there of substance. We've talked about releasing people from prison that Kim Kardashian's been involved with, and Kanye West, who married into that family. I think they're getting divorced. I don't follow it that close, but he's got some very deep Christian values and things that are important to him. And as we've kind of learned, you know, people thought Trump was crazy. He sat down with Kim Kardashian, and he winds up releasing a whole bunch of people from prison that we heard their stories, and we're like, yeah, they belong out of prison. Yes. Way to go, Kim Kardashian. I didn't know she had that in her. And I certainly didn't know Caitlyn Jenner had this in her. I'll root for her because I like politics. And as I told a couple of relatives many years ago, when I was told I was a racist because I wasn't voting for Obama, I said, I don't care if he was conservative. I don't care. I'm always voting for the conservative. To me, it's about the issues. And have I spent 2 seconds of my life marching, supporting, donating, or really, you know, diving into and thinking about the plight of the LGBTQ community? No, I haven't. I haven't. It's not my community. I'm no expert there. I know some people that are gay, but I'm not asked to go to events and get involved and do this and do that. I've not been active in that. I've been busy doing a bunch of other stuff. There's a lot of things I haven't been active in. Probably wasn't active enough in my own kids' lives when they were younger, but it's the way we live. It's what we do. We make choices in life. So no, I can't sit here and tell you that I've been particularly active in that, but you know what? This is an easy call for me. That's the person I align with politically. She gets my vote. I don't care about the other stuff. I don't care. And yet they constantly accuse the right of being bigoted that way. Are there people? Yeah, probably. Are there people that just couldn't vote for a transgender? Probably. Probably. I don't know. My friends aren't that way. We talk politics, but when we talk politics, it sounds a lot like this podcast. So they'd all vote for her. And I wish her luck. All right, a couple of days ago, we talked about my high school, Shawnee Mission North, changing their name. The students have come up with the new mascot, and Shawnee Mission North will be forever known as the Bison. Shawnee Mission North Bison. And I kind of made light of this the other day, and as soon as I was done with the podcast, I said, you know what? I made the case that anything they were looking at, bison or buffaloes, or just the N on the hat, and the reference would be the brick house. The Brick House, because that's what Shawnee Mission North is. They're known as the Brick House. That any of those were as offensive as Indians. And I made some very light cases, didn't back a lot up. I said, look, I know what happened with bison in North America. I know that the white man, the colonists, came about 75 to 100 years into America's history and started moving across the plains and wiping out the bison to eat the meat, to sell the hides, to make money. And militarily, we very quickly figured out that if you start wiping out the bison, the indigenous people that are here are not very powerful against you. That if there are fights breaking out on the plains, and it was still violent, well into the late 1800s, it was still violent between white people and natives that were here. It was weaponized, but I didn't know the numbers. I didn't know anything. But after the podcast was over, I'm like, if they pick bison or buffalo, I'm going to do this. I'm going to mention this on the podcast. So I found the story. This is from Inside Science by a writer named Catherine Gammon. And you're not going to believe these numbers, folks. I'm going to make a case for you. This is a slam dunk case. You put me in a debate with somebody, put me in front of a jury, give me a few minutes to argue my point, and I'm going to take less than a few minutes here. I'm only going to take a couple because I'm going to give you some stats that are going to blow your mind. That bison is more offensive to indigenous people than Indian. And I'm about ready to drop the hammer. This is not up for debate. Bison is more offensive. If you know indigenous history, you have to know that this is more offensive than misnaming them when Amerigo Vespucci got here, or whoever started crossing the plains of the country, and they ran into dark-skinned people and knew that people from Europe that were like that were from India, so they just called them Indians. They didn't know what to call them. They called them Indians and became Indians. And they're not Indians because they're not from India. We all get that. But it was harmless. It was not racial in any tone. They didn't mean anything by it. They just had to call them something. And in those days, they didn't say, oh, the indigenous people that are here. They didn't do that. So they called them the Indians. Let me tell you why the bison's more offensive. This is from insidescience.org. In 1870, now think about that, 1870. My alma mater, Kansas State, was founded in 1863. Kansas State was 7 years into existence in Manhattan. The plains are loaded with bison. There were 10 million bison in the North American plains where we've all pretty much lived. In 1870, for crying out loud. 20 years later, less than 20 years later, 500 bison remained. In less than 20 years, we took the population from 10 million to 500. The bloody removal of the animals for hides, meat, and mostly to devastate Native American communities is well known. There have been countless movies, books, and ballads about the dust-strewn slaughter that have taken place. Before the bison disappeared, the native people living in the plains were among the tallest people in the world. They didn't diversify their work from a single resource, researchers say, because the bison pretty much supplied the indigenous people with everything. At that point in time, what we refer to as Indians, Native Americans, now whatever, they were at least as well off as European colonists. The idea of poverty coincides with reservation area, which happened after the slaughter of bison. The slaughter changed everything. It came in two waves. European settlers brought cattle with them. Those animals competed for the land with wild bison. The second started in the 1870s after German leather makers created technology that allowed bison hide to be tanned more efficiently and economically than cowhide. During 1871 and 1872, an average of 5,000 bison were killed every day as thousands of hunters poured onto the plains. The slaughter continued until 1889, where only 85 free-ranging bison remained in North America. In one generation, this is all you got to hear. This is the mic drop. In one generation, the height, I'm 5'10", the height of the average Native American person who depended on bison dropped by an inch or more, as measured by physical anthropologist Francis Boas. Collected data on the height, gender, and age of 15,000 Native Americans between 1889 and 1990. I'm sorry, 1919. Groups that experienced rapid bison extinction had even more precipitous drop. Children born after the slaughter averaged 2 inches less in height than their parents. The population declined as well, and a Great Depression for Native Americans was upon us. It devastated their tribes, their ability to fight, their ability to defend them land, the ability to eat. They starved. It wiped them out. We wiped out the bison, and it literally starved the Native Americans. Probably the single cruelest thing you could have done to the indigenous people was wipe out the bison. And we did it. We did it. It cannot be argued. We did it. We know we did it. The colonists came and did, I say we're all Americans now, but the colonists came, and this is the history of the country. There were people that were already here, and by 1870, those people were still here. This is several hundred years later. You know, white people have been here for a long time, but they're starting to roll across the plains and just wipe out the food supply. And with it, just wiped out the Native Americans and put them into a depression, an economic and cultural depression that to this day they argue they've not gotten out of. And you've named my high school the Bison? Over Indians? Is anybody at Shawnee Mission North listening to this? Is there a history teacher in the building? Really? The Bison? Killing the Bison was the single worst thing. What are you doing? Are you the Bison because that's a tribute to the great Native American animal that supported them? Or to them, isn't it a reminder of the colonists that came and slaughtered them? I'm not joking today, folks. This is not a joke. So this is the problem when you get so soft as a culture and as a country, as we have in 2021, that we actually forget what happened, the facts, the history, and what really matters. And we sit here and go, oh, it's offensive to refer to someone Native American as an Indian. That's hurtful to them. That's hurtful. Well, are these indigenous people or ancestors of indigenous people, do they not know that the bison were slaughtered? And that's why so many of their relatives and ancestors died? And that's why they're 2 inches shorter today than they were in the late 1870s? That is an unbelievable fact that natives to this country are on average 2 inches shorter today because the bison population was wiped out by colonists. That is unbelievable, folks. This isn't my story. All right. I'm sourcing it. I'm telling you where it came from, and I've read it, and it is amazing. Today, we have about 500,000 bison roaming North America, a lot of them on private land, some of them public, owned by the government. They're basically on the borderline of endangered. You can't really hunt them. But I do think people, obviously there's bison burgers and things like that. You can farm them and sell the meat and stuff, but you can't go hunt them. You can't hunt wild ones or wherever they may be. But that's just, I mean, this is just the lunacy that we're in. I'm dead serious about this issue. If you do the tiniest bit of research and know the history and the plight of what happened, bison is more offensive than Indian. It is. It's my belief, and I just backed it up. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida. He had a news conference on Wednesday, $1,000 to every first responder in the state of Florida and every cop in Florida. $1,000 bonus. Thank you for being so great during the pandemic. His response to at his news conference, his comment was, we've heard about defunding the police. He said, quote, we're funding the police and then some. Ron DeSantis is the man. And that's a nice, I wish it was more, but that's a lot of people getting $1,000 in the state of Florida. There's a lot of first responders and an awful lot of police officers. And I think that is the right thing to do. That is awesome that they've done that. And I'm a big Ron DeSantis fan. He seems to be pushing all the right buttons and really has it going in the state of Florida. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris was boarding Air Force Two, right? She's getting ready to get on Air Force Two. Did you guys see this? Her husband's with her. He gets out of the car with her. She's walking to the steps. He's going to kiss her goodbye. Oh, my sweetie is leaving. They're outside. They're vaccinated. They're married. And they're wearing masks. And then he kisses her goodbye through the mask. Disgusting. Disgusting. Kissing through a mask? Are you serious? What is going on here, folks? What in the world? How dumb do they think we all are? This is just, we're going to mind control the stupidest Americans we possibly can. Is that what this is? They're outside. They're vaccinated. They're married. And they're both wearing masks and they kiss each other through the mask. Donald Trump is banned again by Facebook. They re-upped and said, no. Donald Trump can't be on Facebook. Jen Psaki, the spokesperson for Joe Biden, and it's a good thing because he's been stumbling through more stuff and having more gaffes. Jen Psaki, the spokesperson, says Biden wants more censorship by big tech. He thinks they're doing a great job, but it needs to be even more. We need more censorship from big tech. But, she adds, we are huge, big proponents of the First Amendment. We value the First Amendment. Oh, you got to know that too. President Biden really, you know, values the First Amendment. But it's with an asterisk, a caveat. It has to be correct. We can't have disinformation. The First Amendment doesn't protect that. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, it most certainly does. You can be as wrong as can be, and the First Amendment protects you. You don't have to be right about anything. You can spit out facts that are your truths and nobody else in the world thinks about them. And you're the only person on the planet that believes it. And you are protected by that First Amendment. You absolutely are. There are certain threatening things that you can't say. All right? You can't threaten people. There are certain words you can't say, but that's not free speech. You can't scream fire in a crowded theater. These are laws. These are good things on the books. That's not free speech. That should be a crime. It should be a strong crime for the juror in Minneapolis that lied to the judge and the entire court that they'd never been to a BLM protest and could be unbiased on the jury and didn't know much about the George Floyd killing. Yet it comes up that last August he had a t-shirt on that says, get your knees off our necks, BLM. That's not free speech. That should have a law around it. That's a lie in a criminal justice system. That is not free speech. That's the same as fire in a theater. That affects other people. Can't do that. Can't harm other people. But you can say and have any opinion you want. And they're trying to say Biden believes in that. Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. He wants Facebook to censor even more. And it looks like they are getting it. KKHI on this day is brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, just in time for Mother's Day. 95th and Antioch, online at joslinsjewelry.com. Joslyn's, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Go see Gary or Dave or Cameron on the floor there, and they'll find you something real nice for just a teeny amount of money or a whole bunch of money, depending on what you want to spend for Mother's Day. They got great stuff at Joslyn's. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations for your convenience. First appointment is always free at Fry Orthodontics. All you got to do is mention KKI, KKHI. Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start, and they offer something that nobody else does. They offer you free retainers for life, or if you don't want to do braces, you can get Invisalign for the same price as braces. Nobody else offers that. Invisalign comes with fewer appointments, less time missed from school or work, it's less painful, and it's better hygiene all the way through. Take them up on it. Same price as braces right now at Fry Orthodontics. It's Invisalign. BeStock.net, this week only, it's an earpiece bonanza. Buy any Samsung TV, and they will toss in Samsung Galaxy Buds free. They're not bugs. You don't put bugs in your ear. It's Samsung Galaxy Buds. You get them free with any Samsung TV this week at BeStock.net. Or if you buy an iPad or a MacBook, the AirPods are free. BeStock, B as in boy, BeStock.net. Or visit the outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And Stacy Higgins at CBD-GC.com. If you ever considered CBD products, what a great Mother's Day gift this is. She's packaged up $175 worth of goodies for mom this Mother's Day and sells it for just $125. It's the bath bomb, the peptide cream, the Calm Infuse Roll-On, the Sleep Boost, the Quartz Facial Roller, and much more. The website is cbd-gc.com. That's cbd-gc.com. Her name is Stacy Higgins. She's a personal friend. She's two scoops of awesome. She's really a cool lady, nice lady, way kinder than me. I mean, most of these people are. That's not hard. She's way nicer than me. And if you'd like to talk to her about a little side gig, some side action at CBD-GC, she can help you out with that and teach you how to, you know, sell to your friends and start your own little cottage business at home as well. She'll help you out there. Just check it out. Just go online, cbd-gc.com. Okay, the Royals in the 2011 draft had a little bit of a problem. They drafted Bubba Starling. You guys remember when they drafted Bubba Starling? He was the fifth pick overall out of Gardner-Edgerton High School. And the Royals missed the boat because in the 46th round that year, Bubba's teammate, John Means, from Gardner-Edgerton, was drafted. And he was drafted so late in the 46th round that he said, no, thank you. And he went to West Virginia to play college baseball. They were on the same team. They were both drafted in 2011. In 2014, when Means was available after his West Virginia career to be drafted again, the Baltimore Orioles took him in the 11th round. There's good players in the 11th round. That is not all that unusual for something good to happen in the 11th round. In 1969, John Means had never pitched more than 7 innings in a game. He went the full 9. It's the third no-hitter this year. 3 full no-hitters. And there was a 7-inning no-hitter by Madison Bumgarner. They had a doubleheader, so there were only 7-inning games, and he threw a no-hitter in that. The ball this year is deader than it's been. It's a deadened ball, and they've expanded the strike zone. Although you didn't see that in Tuesday night's Royals game for sure. So this, he only faced 27 batters, Means did. This was an unbelievable no-hitter against the Mariners. Crazy no-hitter. 27 batters. He didn't get a double play. He didn't hit a guy. He didn't walk a guy. This is what happened. He struck a batter out, and the pitch was so good, it got in the dirt and got away from the catcher, and the runner ran to first base. Then they threw the runner out trying to steal second. He faced the minimum. 27 batters. If you ask me, that's a perfect game. And I'm not sure I like the rule anymore. I used to like it as a kid because it happened a lot in Little League. I'm not sure I really like the rule of strike 3 gets away from the catcher. On a foul tip, certainly. Certainly. Now, if you swing and miss, you swing and miss. You're done. I don't care where the ball goes. If you throw it into the third deck of the stadium and you swing at it and miss it, you should go sit down. That's amazing. The Royals clearly drafted the wrong Gardner-Edgerton player in 2011 as John Means has thrown a no-hitter. And we talk a lot about media on this podcast, and in a lot of times it's the local media is liberal. Well, this isn't liberal or conservative in any way. But there's also a big trend that started about 10 years ago or 15 years ago of teams controlling the media, controlling their own media and their own messaging. And I like the Royals announcers and their great guests on the show and stuff. They clearly had one of those little pieces that was written, you know, where they show the video as the innings get ready to start, and they go, oh, look what happened today. Born in Olathe from Gardner-Edgerton High School, John Means throws a no-hitter. and it's up for a couple seconds, and they show it, and what a great moment. It was the third no-hitter of the year, the first by an Oriole since Jim Palmer in 1969, and that's it. What they didn't say was, at any point on the broadcast that I heard, what they didn't say was, oh, that was Bubba Starling's teammate. Why wouldn't the Royals put that in the copy? Well, you can figure that one out. Look, I'm not picking on the Royals for not drafting John Means. That's a little tongue-in-cheek, but the Bubba Starling pick was a disaster. It was bad, and it looked bad from the start. It was a pitcher-heavy draft, and the Royals thought, this is the most talented position player in the draft. He's a local guy, but his sport was football, and everybody knew it. And Bubba Starling made $8 million, as I recall, by signing with the Royals. Great for him and his family. I'm sure they invested. In fact, I know they did. I know some people that know him. And they were real smart with it because you never know if you're going to make it to the big leagues and make it or not. And it just hasn't worked out for Bubba Starling. He's too stiff. His back is just too straight up and too stiff. He doesn't have a natural – he's a tremendous athlete, but he just doesn't have the natural feel to play baseball. And quarterback was probably his thing. And the Royals missed the boat on that when it happens. It's an inexact science. But the Royals, if they drafted John Means, could be out there throwing no-hitters right now because he did it for the Baltimore Orioles. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. You're getting a lot of Aaron Rodgers news here on the podcast. A lot. This is pretty good. Some of his teammates have come out now. Apparently none of them like the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. I'm only going to say his name once because I don't want to botch that name. Aaron Rodgers refers to the general manager, Brian, as Jerry Krause when he texts his teammates. They make fun of him in group texts. This is leaked out by a player who's been in on the text. They all do it, apparently. Jerry Krause was the general manager of the Chicago Bulls that Michael Jordan made fun of. Jerry Krause built the world champions, but he made offseason moves that Michael Jordan didn't like. Michael Jordan wanted to have his friends on the team, and Krause was going out getting players, and eventually Jordan wielded so much power he got Krause fired. But they never liked the general manager. It's been my experience in life, and probably yours, in your business life, in your work life, when someone in a position of authority or power is disliked that much, it really isn't about the moves they're making. Jerry Krause was bringing in good players, and they were winning championships. That certainly wasn't about the personnel moves or whether or not he was doing a good job. It had to be his personality. They had to not like him. They had to not respect him. They didn't think he was very cool. There was something there. That's not unusual. There's plenty of people in positions of power that the people that work there don't like. But it comes with the territory. And then at some point, you're Michael freaking Jordan, and you have more power than the general manager, and he's gone. That's what's going on here, it looks like. Aaron Rodgers is trying to assert power over the general manager. He refers to the guy as Jerry Krause. That's pretty funny. This last story is not altogether funny. You've heard Peloton, right? The Peloton, where complete strangers coach you through your workout. Their stock has soared over the last year. The pandemic was great for all these fitness equipment manufacturers and whatnot, right? I mean, they've just gone, you know, gangbusters. And I've heard nothing but great things about Peloton. But apparently, in April, there was a bunch of concern by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the CPSC here in the United States, of a freakish amount of injuries and some deaths from Peloton's treadmills. They're mostly known for their bike, right? But they sell treadmills too, and they've sold lots of them. Well, on Wednesday, their stock tumbled almost 15%. It turns out that kids and pets and objects and even limbs of adults can get pulled under the treadmill from the backside, like a vacuum cleaner would suck you in. Apparently, the treadmill isn't protected at the back the proper way, and it can suck you under this thing, and there have been some deaths. Peloton was fighting the CPSC as recently as a couple weeks ago, saying, this isn't right. We don't have a problem here. We're not recalling. We're not doing anything. No, no, no. Fighting it. And finally, Peloton has given in. They have recalled every single treadmill they've made. Everyone, it's over. They're warning anyone that has a Peloton treadmill, unplug it from the wall and never use it again. There is no fix. They're going to have to develop a new one and send you a different one, I think. There's no fix. It's not like, you know, you've got this little rubber wing or something in your car that needs to be traded out at Roberts Robinson. Okay. Like, okay. You know, your Chevy has to go in and get this $2 part put on it. Whatever. Those things happen all the time. They're not life-threatening. They're just, the warning light doesn't come on right if this thing isn't here or whatever. And so you go get it. Recalls are very common. Most recalls are pretty harmless. They're just the right thing to do. They don't lead to injuries and death. This is the real deal, man. Unplug that thing. Never use it again. Get a hold of Peloton. Get your money back, I guess. And then what? Call 800-GOT-JUNK? I don't know what you do with it. But Peloton now agrees with its CPSC. I think they saw some numbers, and I think this is going to be a growing story. I think we're going to learn more. I don't want to. I do not want to hear about kids and pets being pulled under these things. I don't want to hear those stories. I'm scared to keep reading about this. I really am. Objects and even limbs of adults getting pulled under these machines. It just sounds horrible. And there's been enough of these accidents around the country that they've recalled the entire collection of treadmills by Peloton. It is over with the Peloton treadmill. Very interesting. That's a stock and a company that's done really, really, really well the last 18 months with the pandemic, and they make good products that people like, but not the treadmills. So there you have it. I was speaking with a friend yesterday, a guy I've known a long time who's got a business and is advertised, and you'll probably be hearing about him here coming up in a few weeks and whatnot. But we were talking, and he said, what is going on with the podcast? I hear more and more people talking about it. And I said, man, it's unbelievable to me. I said on my very first show, I'm going to give this 6 months and see how it goes. Well, I did, and the 6 months were fine. What's happened in the last couple months, as we've gotten to month 8, is mind-boggling. And I'd heard everybody say, you got to do a podcast for 6 months before you blah, blah, blah. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. Well, I guess I would describe it this way. If you have 100 listeners and you ask 100 people to tell one person each about the podcast, you've got 200. But when you get into the thousands of listeners and you start asking them, please tell one person about the podcast and have them hit that like, follow, or subscribe button, it's unbelievable what happens. And it's happening. And he's like, I've just watched these numbers go up and up and up on the followers. We're well over 6,000 followers now. And I just started trying after the Super Bowl. We just didn't mention it much the first 6 months of the podcast. I didn't know. I didn't know to mention it. I didn't know to ask you to tell other people about the podcast. I was too busy paying a marketing firm to get me some Facebook boosting and this crap on Twitter and all this stuff. It's all social. You know what the best thing in the world is? Word of mouth. When I can tell you that I got my new car from Roberts Robinson and this is how it went, or a friend, a sister of a friend in Branson that's got one ordered and delivered, or things that are going on with my advertisers, and then people do it and they share their stories and they tell people, it's awesome. The power of that is incredible. And I don't know why I thought podcasting was different than radio or anything else. It's not. What you want and hope for is that somebody listens and likes it. And then if they do, just tell one person. Just find another person, your spouse, doesn't matter, your kid, your dad, it doesn't matter. Tell one person and ask them to hit that like, follow, or subscribe button. And when they do, this thing's taking off, man, and it's making a difference. And you know how I know it's making a difference? I know how it's making a difference because the way I'm getting treated by people that I know that are liberal. This is a new world for me. I'm being locked out, turned off, shunned, and canceled by a lot of people. And I really don't care. I think that's on them. I think that's just so shallow and bad. If you're so liberal that you can't stand me because I'm conservative, I feel bad for you. I do. I mean, I can laugh at some of your liberal thinkings and policies, but that doesn't mean I don't like you. It doesn't mean I'm going to go on Twitter and hate you. It's just, I don't even understand it. I don't. But it's the way it is, and it's happening more and more and more, and I don't care. I don't care. You know, and the convergence of sports and politics is crazy, too, in America. It's all one and the same now. It's just, this is such a natural format for me, and so fulfilling to be able to share these things with you because I'm serious about them. You know, I don't think you're going to hear anybody else talk about the Shawnee Mission North Bison, that's more offensive than Indians. I truly believe it is. I've read up on my history. I gave you facts. I'm laying it out there for you. Where are the liberals going crazy about bison? Shouldn't they? Shouldn't what happened to the bison be the worst reminder of what happened to that culture? Yeah, doesn't fit the narrative of what's going on today for the very, very shallow left. And I really don't care. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to spread the good word here. And I appreciate you for listening and supporting Kevin Keatsman as issues in any way that you can. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.